Talk News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites. Call show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon wireless subscribers for the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000 watt 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 25th of May, Anno Domini 2008. And you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And Jessica Sawyer.
And at 8 minutes after the hour, we've got news, views, stuff you can lose, things you can choose. You'll notice we're shy two people today. The magnificent Jessica Sawyer in for Rob Linton, who's, I believe, under his bed. Who isn't cowering under his bed at this moment, afraid of the big yellow ball in the sky. He hasn't seen it all winter, has no idea what it is. Mm-hmm. Cowering under his bed, just waiting for it to go away. And Chris Reich, of course, is in the blimp at the PGA, making their sound work perfectly, and probably attempting to hijack it, because I asked him for a ride.
Ah, hey, that'd be cool.
Beyond that, we're all here doing what we do, and I hope you're all ready for a beautiful, beautiful weekend. Tomorrow being a day off. I can't argue with that. And, of course, it's Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would like to, before we go any farther, remember all of our brave men and women who have done so much for this country.
God bless them all.
Including you, my friend. And in particular, those who did not come back.
Amen to that.
Moment of prayer for each and every one of them. All right. Security researchers in the U.S. government Friday warned of ongoing targeted phishing attacks posing as overdue tax notices from federal courts. The attacks take aim at top-level executives, including at one who works for security vendor McAfee Inc. The emails are designed to look like a petition from the tax court and are fairly believable, said McAfee researcher Kevin McGee in a notice posted to the company's website. There's also a legitimate telephone number for the organization, and the executive's name is listed as the respondent in a case versus the Commissioner of Internal Revenue. The from address is listed as ustaxcourt.org, but the legitimate U.S. Tax Court site is ustaxcourt.gov, where, by the by, you can find a warning about the scam on their homepage. And the United States Tax Court has received many telephone calls regarding an email which purports to originate from the court being sent by a member of the tax court's practitioner bar, the warning said. The message is an example of spear phishing, PH phishing, in which an email, which is an email spoof attempt that targets a specific organization or an individual within an organization. The tax court is not disseminating any email notice to anyone who currently has a case before this court, this thing says. If you receive an email with a subject line that includes the text notice of deficiency number or U.S. tax petition, ignore, delete the email. Do not click any link within that email message. If you get a let me repeat this. Pay attention now. If you receive an email that includes the text notice of deficiency number or U.S. tax petition, ignore it. Delete the email. Do not click any of the links in the email message. This is not the way the government will notify you. Believe me when I tell you, if you are deficient in your taxes, you will know it.
Oh, I got to show you something. As you know, I was away last week.
Yes.
And just got to show you this.
Oh, nice. I saw that picture. Oh, you showed me the actual picture in my driveway.
That's right.
And actually,
Lori did.
Yeah, going back to the email a second, that just brings up the point. Never click any link in any email.
Yeah.
Because you don't know if who it says came from is real. And even if it says it came from someone you know, they might have been hijacked. And you don't know. It could be a bad program.
Or the other one that folks get trapped into is they see down at the bottom of the email, it'll sit there and say, click on this to be removed.
Yeah, that's a good way to get yourself added.
Yeah, that is the best way to say, hey, I am a live, warm, living human being.
Who clicks on links in email?
Yep.
Yeah, they want you.
Oh, big time.
All right, to the phones, ladies and gentlemen. Our first caller, Jim, from is that text smaller? Our first caller is Jim from Fairport, New York. Welcome,
no,
Jim.
It's lowercase.
Yeah.
Rob always typed in uppercase for you old people.
Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
I've for the last few days I've been getting a pop up on my screen from Antivirus 2008, and they must have scanned or have, they have pretended to scam my hard drive, and they tell me I am so infected. I got to be at that store.
Are you sure it's not Norton Antivirus 2008?
No,
have you
I'm
purchased
using,
that?
No, I haven't.
No, there's a scam going around right now, and it is literally spyware.
Yeah, it's a fake antivirus message.
Do you
claiming.
See it all the time, or only when you're going to certain websites?
Sometimes it won't let me. I haven't been able to go to websites I want to go to in the last.
Yep,
couple
it's
of
blocking.
Days.
You've been hijacked.
You've been hijacked. You need to get your machine to somebody who can clean it out. I don't know that you'll be able to dance the security tango because you can't get to the site to do things.
And I regularly dance the security tango.
Well, yeah, but the reality is that there's just so much out there.
But, you've danced it, but the thing of it is if it's blocking, it's not allowing any of the updates, which you would need for the current stuff. That's the thing. You can have the programs, but if they're not updating weekly and you get blocked, that's when your machine can be overtaken, and then you think you're dancing, but it's not updating the programs to do the full dance.
The best way to fix this is to take it to somebody who can take out your hard drive and clean it in a machine.
A known good machine.
A known good machine, make it the second drive and clean it that way.
That's going right over to my pal, Jay Corngoose.
There you go.
At SeniorNet.
Yep.
There you go.
Okay.
Excellent.
I did find some instructions from a program called Spy Hunter. Is that a good one or a bad one?
No, it's hard to tell.
There's three processes and six registry keys, so it's a dangerous, difficult thing to remove.
Yep.
All right, our next caller is Linda from Greece, New York. Welcome, Linda. How are you?
Good. How are you, gentlemen?
Great. What's up?
We just lost her.
Linda? Linda?
She's gone.
Darn those wireless phones.
What happened?
I don't know. She was there and then...
Well, Thomas. Thomas, where are you calling from? Thomas?
I'm calling from Newark, New York.
Newark?
Yeah.
Where is Newark?
South of Rochester. It's down by Palmyra and Lyons.
Oh, okay, yeah. Cool.
Newark?
Newark.
York.
N-E-W-A-R-K.
Newark. Yeah. All right. What's your question?
I've been trying to download Windows XP Service Pack 3.
Don't.
Well,
no.
Both times it's failed, and I don't know where all the junk went.
You don't want 3 yet.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird things that happen, especially with
ISM. Is there any way I can get rid of the stuff that went in there?
The download failed, it's likely that you don't really have anything sitting around your drive.
Well, the bit that was downloaded will be in the temporary internet download files.
And that's under the Windows folder. You'll see they're usually in blue, and they've got weird numbers, and you can, any of the installs there, you can, or updates, you can delete those folders.
I probably wouldn't know which one it was.
Right.
It doesn't matter. You can delete any of those.
If you go, you can run your disk cleanup wizard. If you right-click on your hard drive, there's a tools and then disk cleanup. One of the options is to delete all those downloaded files and temporary internet files that get downloaded by other programs that never clean themselves up.
I go to... tool and options, and I delete all those there that do the same thing?
No, there are four or five other things that need to be deleted, too. That's just your temp files. There's also the internet download files.
Where do I find that?
Right-click on your hard drive, choose properties, tools, disk cleanup. And that's one of the options in there. It'll let you empty your recycle bin. It will delete your download files, your temp files. So that one place does all of the deleting.
It's been running like 6-7 hours, on the download, but
no, just go ahead and restart your machine.
It's like a 300 meg file. It will take a very long time to download.
Yeah, and then the next morning it says it's starting.
Yeah, are you on? Are you on dial up?
No, I'm on DSL.
Yeah, no, right. Shut the machine down, restart it, and just forget about doing Service Pack 3. There are still known issues. And when we come back from the break, I'll tell folks what to do to avoid that.
Yeah, you know, because I did it 2 days, and it's about 14 right. hours worth of stuff.
Well, we got to take a break. I'm sorry, Thomas. We got to take a break. But that's Dave will tell you a little bit about that when we come back. We're going to come back in just a couple of minutes. But Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Jessica Sawyer, who's ably and magnificently sitting in for Rob Linton. I'm Nick Francesco. It is 18 minutes after the hour. You are listening to Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with a whole lot more Sound Bites. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Jessica Sawyer.
And at 22 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites.
Dave was going to talk about why you don't want Service Pack 3 yet.
Right.
Yeah. Quickly, when you folks are hit with the screen, you know, to do your updates, do a custom. Don't do the express because that will automatically try to install Service Pack 3. If you do a custom, you'll get another screen, whereas it'll tell you to install Service Pack 3 or below that, have it scan and see what other tools it needs to add. Select that. Then you'll get the screen. You can pick and choose the items you install. And most of them, you just want the down or the update patches to Windows XP. Only select those. And until they get the Service Pack 3 straightened out, because what it's doing basically right now with all your anti-spyware programs and even your antivirus programs is reporting false positives that your machine is totally infected with spyware and Trojans and everything else, and it just causes the machine to lock up and not do anything.
Right. All right. People begin receiving spam messages Monday telling them they must correct a problem with their iTunes account, according to Andrew Lockhart, an executive with email security vendor Proofpoint. A link in the spam leads to a site posting an iTunes billing update page. That phony page asks for information including credit card number, security code, social security number, and mother's maiden name. The theft attempt is a new... Wouldn't that make you just a little suspicious that iTunes needs your social security number?
Yeah.
All right.
Send out a billion messages if, you know, 1/10 of 1/10 of 1%. Answer it, you've made money.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The theft attempt is a new twist on the usual phishing attack. You know, we've gotten used to seeing the usual companies and brands attacked like PayPal, eBay, Citibank. But now, this is the first time I know of that Apple is the target. In a way, the phishing campaign is almost a compliment. It's probably indicative that I see Apple's online presence as large enough to be a target. It's part and parcel of the success that Apple has enjoyed lately. So, if you find yourself with an email that says there's a problem with your iTunes account, click here. Don't click here. All right, back to the phones.
Well, back to our base recommendation. Don't click any link in an email.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
If you get a message saying there's a problem with your iTunes account, log into iTunes yourself from inside of iTunes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Our next caller is Ed from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Ed. What's your question?
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. I've got a method of virus protection I've been using, and I'd like your comments on it. I found that when I tried putting different virus software in, it would slow my machine down terribly, and it just wasn't operable. And I mainly use it for generating short emails or pictures and, you know, running simple games and things like that.
Right.
So what I've been doing is I put everything on it, put my operating system, everything on a disk. And once a month, basically, I turn around, just format the hard drive, load everything in. It takes me about 15 minutes. In 15 minutes, I've wiped the drive. I think I'm wiping the drive completely, doing a full format, and putting it in. And what I do is I keep my primary partition down to about 4 gig, so I don't have to wait for a long format time. And then the extended partition, I just, you know, format that at my leisure. And I run an old Windows 2000 program, Service Pack 4. And I use no antivirus software at all. And the machine operates extremely fast, does my printing fast, lets me search the web fast, and I think everything is relatively virus-free. I never seemed to have any problems, and I didn't know if there was anything in addition I could do beyond that, and I don't mind the simple 15-minute format and reload the stuff a month. I mean,
well, it's certainly a fanatical way to do it, and it means that you're only vulnerable 29 days a month.
Well, I don't understand, though. I've been doing this for such a long time, and I have suffered no vulnerability. No one's hacked into my
system. No, you've been vulnerable. You may not have been hacked, but you've been vulnerable.
Yeah.
Plus, if you're not running an antivirus system and you're on the internet, you are vulnerable. Whether you were attacked or not is a different story.
But, see, I religiously listen to your program, and you're explaining to me that I have to open an email, or I have to open an attachment, or I have to open something for it to infect my system.
You have to go to a web page.
Or I have to go to a web. Now, right. By clicking on a page, can that possibly load something into my system?
Absolutely.
Yes,
absolutely. Yes, we've said that many times.
And the fact that they are releasing any security updates for Windows 2000 anymore means that you're especially vulnerable, and they're never going to fix it.
All right. Now, let's say I do that on the second day of the month, and now the balance of the 28 days, I supposedly have this infection in my machine. But once I reformat it at the end of the month, that's gone, right?
Probably. Now, wait a minute,
was hiding and didn't you were infected, but it didn't actuate. What's the word I want?
Activate.
Yeah.
Well, doesn't when I reformat it,
right.
Doesn't that eliminate it?
But one.
So
question,
what are you reformatting from?
That's what I was curious.
You don't update, so it's the same format you had 3 years ago?
Exactly. I just keep the same operating system on a disk. I've got another backup on a little flash drive, and I don't add any updates. So no updates as far as antivirus and else like that. I run an old IE6 program, service back one, and you guys told me to try and use Mozilla and Firefox and these different things. I put them in there, and the thing slowed down to a crawl.
How fast is your machine, and how much memory do you have?
One's got a 1.5 gig. It's an old Sony with 512 of RDRAM in it. It's only a 128 ATI card. My other machine's got an NVIDIA card in it, but that's only 128.
So it's,
but I basically do the same thing with that, too, and that's an old Dell.
Yeah, it's a 2000-class machine. My wife had the same issue. She had a 2000 machine that was really slow because it had 64 megs of RAM in it.
Right.
Yeah. So it's you are doing everything mostly okay, but you are still vulnerable for possible attacks. And what about your data files? You don't make any data files that you don't keep?
If there's anything that I'm going to store, it's mainly like a JPEG image or a TIFF image.
There are many vulnerabilities that attack JPEG and TIFF images.
You may have an infected IOL on one of your flash drives or whatever, and if you load it into another machine, you will infect that machine. I'm sorry, Ed. There's no way. There's no shortcut. There's no magic. The simple fact is if you run on the internet with no protection, you may be infected.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate all
right.
the information.
And that is the downside, is you run all these anti-whatever programs, and it does slow your machine down.
Yeah.
So especially on older machines, it's very annoying to have to do.
Price of poker keeps going up. I mean, like Nick says all the time.
Yeah. Yep. Well, and the reality is that, you know, it's what he's doing is very clever.
You can minimize your risk by doing the things he's doing, but
right.
there's still a risk.
But there is still a risk. And the only way you really alleviate that risk, if you're going to run Windows, you have to run some form of anti-malware, both antivirus and anti-spyware. That's the only way to be safe. You know, if you're running Linux, you can still run antivirus software. If you're running the Mac, you could still...
You may not necessarily have to run it as a resident program scanning all the
right,
time.
Right, exactly, but you should have it.
You're right.
He's just looking for a workaround for a very old machine.
He would actually save time once a month if he ran an antivirus program on his machine to see if he was infected, you know, if he danced the tango, and then he wouldn't have to reformat. Going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Soundbites, 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Jessica Sawyer.
And at 34 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. MySpace. In a posting to the official MySpace developers blog on Tuesday, MySpace president Tom Anderson, who wants to be my friend, announced changes to the application guidelines intended to prevent developers from building self-promotional features into their applications that result in intrusive and deceitful behavior, such as generating unsolicited messages to other users or tricking application users into approving such actions. What's been happening is that since Facebook has launched its own developer platform a year ago, you know, the goal of that was to let external developers create applications that would enrich the user's experience, yada, 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 yada. But what happens is a lot of them are just using them to annoy other members and promote themselves and all of that stuff. So they've now got a whole list of changes, forbidden to offer member incentives or promoting applications via messages, comments, other forms of communication. Applications must be very explicit in explaining an application's communication capabilities. You know, they make sure that you don't pretend to be part of MySpace, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Remember when I went to one of my college reunions, it was everyone handed out their business card, and I've got a business plan, call me for money, or I'm looking for a job, call me for money. And
yeah,
for
right.
The next 2 weeks, it was all, hey, I met you at the reunion. Yeah, can you give me a job? Or, hey, do you want to invest in a company?
Yeah, right. Right. All right, our next caller is Linda back again. Linda, don't hang up on us this time.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, guys. All of a sudden, I was talking. You still on?
Yeah.
We got you now.
I wanted to make sure, because all of a sudden, I heard dead sounds. I go, what happened?
You know, yeah.
Okay, did you hear my question?
No.
Okay. My friend of mine reinstalled Windows XP Pro. He reinstalled everything. And he put on the Service Pack 3. He put on, what you said, the components that I need, okay?
Right.
Okay, I was using Mozilla, but for some reason now Mozilla won't open up any of my windows. So I went back to Internet Explorer, but it's opening them up in very small windows. It's not opening up full. How do I get it to open up full? I can click on the box and make the window bigger, but I want it to open that way.
Well, once you do it, because most folks, once they open it up to full screen and they want to get out of it, they usually go up to the upper right-hand corner and click on the X.
Yeah, right.
No, that's the wrong way to do it. To save it in full screen, you've got to go over to File and say Exit. Exit will save it.
Now, when you said it opened small, is it opening really, really tiny or just...
Oh, no. It's opening up maybe one... if you break it down to 4 checks, it's opened up maybe 1/4 of the screen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because there
so
are some
really
issues...
sort of normal screen... Yeah. Normal window size.
There are some issues with leftover JavaScripts that open really, really tiny right. windows, and then all of your windows are really, really tiny.
Right.
But it's funny, when Mozilla does work, that opens up full. It's just IE7 Service Pack 3 that he put on,
Right.
But so now...
That should do it, though, Linda. That should do it for you.
Sometimes if you hit F5, because the same thing happens with desktop windows. Mm-hmm. If you hit F5, it remembers that's the size you wanted it to be.
The problem is if the Internet Explorer window is active and you hit F5, you just reload the page.
Right.
But it may remember that was the size you wanted
it at. The easiest way is just to go to File and say Exit at the size you want. Do not click on the X up in the upper right-hand corner.
Okay. Now, if I wanted Mozilla Firefox to work, should I uninstall it and try reinstalling it again?
Well, I don't know what your friend did to it. It theoretically should just work. Mm-hmm. If your friend set it up wrong or, didn't make the file permissions correct or whatever, I don't know. I can't tell from here. But
it will eventually open, but I'll get this message. You typed in the wrong thing. Well, I've got these things set on my desktop where I just click those, and it says you've typed the wrong thing in here.
So he probably misspelled the name of the home page it's trying to open to.
Ah.
And then so it tries for a while, then gives up and gives you the error message.
So what you want to do is go to that home page that you want, whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
Then under Preferences, which I believe is under Tools on Windows.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Under Preferences... make sure the main tab is selected, or depending on which version you have, it's a series of icons. And then you'll see home page, and whatever that home page is, you can click use current page.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Roman. I'm glad I got you back.
Me too.
Okay.
Thanks, Linda. Have fun.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Yeah, when somebody reloads a system like that, you never know quite what they've got.
Flying blind.
It's so easy to misspell your own homepage, and then you get an error message every time you open it.
Well, but you would think that he would have looked at that before he... Well, never mind.
Anyway,
our next caller is Richard from Rochester. Welcome, Richard. What's your question?
Hey, it's me, huh?
It is you.
Okay. Question is video streaming.
Yeah.
Now, I'm running XP Service Pack 2. Okay. I'm right now doing an express download. Sorry, guys.
That's all right.
But I have an HD TV card.
Right.
And I also use Hulu because it's kind of like my entertainment center.
Sure, very nice website. Yep.
Yep. But it's now stuttering. Past couple days, it stopped. Mm-hmm. The audio comes through, but the video doesn't.
Go ahead.
I called Frontier.
So you're on DSL. Are you wired or wireless on that computer?
I took the wireless out.
Yeah, that's the usual problem.
Yeah. I broke
you called Frontier.
Yeah, and they didn't give them much help. And I tried it again today because, kind of like to watch TV.
Sure.
But it still stutters. Now, is there something with the system or is this the service?
Well, it could be either. The way to tell, really, is to go somewhere else and stream something else.
And that will tell you whether it's that website or if it's your internet connection or if it's your computer. It could be any one of the three things.
Right. So if you go, for example, to YouTube and stream something there, if it does not stutter, the problem is Hulu.
Does it stutter when it's in a small window or only in full screen?
No, it's small window also.
Okay. Yeah, I would do that first. I would go to YouTube and do, you can't tell. You got to do a dozen or more of the fairly longer ones. You know, people keep looking around for something that's 3 minutes, 6 minutes. Usually in the news sides, you can see that stuff.
Yeah, do a snippet, yeah.
Right. And listen, watch a half a dozen of them for 5-6 minutes, because on YouTube you'll definitely get some stutter once in a while, but that is the site.
Okay.
Cool. So, watch a half a dozen or a dozen or two dozen, and if the majority of them stutter, then it's probably you, but if most of them don't, then it's Hulu.
There is something you can try that may not tell you much, but you can run Frontier Speed Test, which is at rochester.speedtest.frontier.net.
Right.
And Time Warner has their own at speedtest.rochester.roadrunner.com. And that will tell you what your current speed is. And if you do that over time, over a few days, you can see if your speed is fluctuating dramatically. If you're getting 5 megabits one day and 1 megabit the next day, then there's something wrong in the internet connection from your provider, or too many people using it at that moment. Now, it's going to be worse this weekend because school's out. And
right.
So more and more kids are home using the internet.
Well, not if you're on DSL. Time Warner, Roadrunner is shared.
Well, it's shared in a neighborhood. DSL is shared at the CO.
Right, but at the CO, the pipe is gigantic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's less likely to affect you.
Okay.
But I would definitely check several. In fact, really to do due diligence, you need to check several other video sites.
Okay.
And see if the same thing happens. If it is in fact probably your connection. And again, check the speed test and that stuff.
The HD TV came in pretty good when I checked it this morning.
Right.
But the Hulu, the internet didn't work.
Well, like I said, I think that's what you need to do next.
Okay, great.
All right.
Well, you guys have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks.
Thanks.
Good luck, Richard. Yeah, I like Hulu. Hulu is actually a lot of fun. All right, our next caller, Bob, from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Two questions. One is, if I purchase a 64-bit machine, and then I go out and I purchase something like, say, Internet Security 2008 Firewall 32-bit software, will that run on a 64-bit machine?
Yep. Yeah. Here's the problem, though. It will, unfortunately, switch states every time you go to it.
What do you mean?
A machine can either run in 64 or 32 bits. And if it has to switch from 64 to 32 and back to 64 and back to 32 and yada, 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 it slows down horribly.
Well, then we recommend people if they buy a 64-bit machine and all that's out there is 32-bit software.
Don't buy a 64-bit machine. Buy a 64-bit machine specifically to run 64-bit software.
Right. If you, for example, wanted to run Linux, you could download Ubuntu in 64-bit or any one of the others in 64-bit, run everything 64-bit all day long, be happier than a pig in mud. But if you're going to run Windows, most of the software is only 32-bit, and you're going to waste the 64-bit machine.
Okay.
Just hasn't gotten...
Or it'll be very slow.
Okay.
I mean, I wouldn't spend the money on a 64-bit machine and run Windows on it.
Okay. All right. The other question is wireless.
Yeah.
Wi-Fi. I called up Frontier because I have their SpeedStream 6520 modem.
Sure.
And I asked them what type of wireless, you know, do your modem support? And I guess going from least to most secure, they said WEP, which is 64, 128-bit.
Right.
And it can be cracked in about minutes.
Yeah. Okay. WPA PSA, which uses TKIP encryption, which I think is 128-bit.
Right.
And then the third one, which they don't recommend right now because their modem racks don't support it and it's unstable, is called WP2 PSK AES encryption.
Right.
Right.
That is the most secure, but I think...
And the trick is every device on your network must support that WPA2. And since that's the newest, not all older devices support it.
Right. I believe most newer Windows installations support it. And
just do WPA.
Yeah, WPA is actually pretty good.
All right, so just do the PSK AES encryption because that's the most secure?
If your machines support that, yes. If
like
they don't...
Okay.
Go to the middle
one. Every other computer on your network, all your printers, anything that's connected to that wireless network must support that AES encryption.
Now, if they're wired, you don't have to worry about that.
Right, and if I got to find out if Vista Business supports AES encryption.
I don't know that off the top of my head. I suspect it would, but I don't know that.
Okay, but that's the most secure, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yep. Sure.
Bye-bye.
It is an interesting problem. You want the most secure,
but
all your devices have to be able to deal with it. And I have seen the same problem people get, the new N series, yada, yada, yada. And then their laptops don't work with it because the laptop is older and doesn't have an N series card in it. And so, you got to match what you got. All right, we are going to take another break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Jessica Sawyer, who's doing just a phenomenal job. I'm Nick Francesco. It is 48 minutes after the hour. We are the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Jessica Sawyer.
And at 51 minutes after the hour, you know what that means. It's that time, boys and girls.
I'm back.
Put on your jammies, grab a mug of hot cocoa, and sit Indian style in a semicircle around the rocking chair because of... Slap him awake. It's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave?
Hey! You don't have to worry. This has been brewing for 2 weeks.
Uh-uh.
Yeah. All right, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, wake up!
Ow, I'm wearing an earpiece here.
Hello. You know, I don't mind explaining something simple to folks. And what I'm talking about is the Soundbites Forum. Now, when I start getting people porking me off because, they're not getting approved and everything else, and, they're trying to get onto the board. Well, hello. I get so many requests right now from crud trying to get into the Soundbites forum. If you're too darn lazy to not only put in some goofy name, but no city state, I'm probably going to blow past it.
And the reason is you got to tell people. We're getting a lot of spammers from overseas.
Thousands a day or something.
Thousands a day. And Dave is diligently going in and removing them all so that you don't have to see the same kind of junk that you're seeing in your email forums.
Well, I can honestly say, since I started doing this in February, there has been not one post in the forums of porn, Viagra, or pills, or anything else because I'm sitting there and screening it.
Right.
And I'm literally... In the morning, afternoon, and evening, I check it 3 times a day, so if there are legitimate people in there. But when I get folks emailing me saying, you didn't update my thing so I could get into the forums, and then I go looking through it, and it's some Gmail account, which I get tons of, and all they did was put in a name and not a city and state. That is the only way you're now going to get approved, is if you put in a name. I don't care what it's called, the name, but I want a legitimate city, state put in the location. I'm going on record right now. If you don't put in the city and state, I'm not going to, you're going to get blown off and you're not going to get in the forums. And I'm tired of folks emailing me and complaining, they're so busy. Well, so am I.
And we have to do this by hand.
Yeah,
it's the old spam law. There are there's no perfect way for a computer to know what's spam and what's not.
And I literally
so how many illegitimate messages?
And so how busy do you have to be to not have time to put a city and state in? I'm too busy to do that. You're too busy to read the forums. Thanks for playing. Goodbye.
Well, that's all I've asked, and I've asked this, and I'm trying to do my part and make the forums fun for folks to go into and not have to get other emails or phone calls. Oh, somebody's in there and they've got porn or they're advertising this or that and I don't need my kids seeing it because
yeah,
for a while
you might remember about 6 months ago every other message was nasty. Yeah.
And it was pretty graphic.
And that was when the computer was trying to automatically filter out the bad guys.
Right.
Yeah. And you just can't. That's why you get spam in your email box too. The computer can't filter at all.
And like I say, and I get easily in the morning there's at least 300 requests. And if you folks can't take the simple time to put in where it says location and you're signing up for forms, put in city, comma, state. And I will gladly, in a heartbeat, that day, have you activated. Because like I say, I check it 3 times a day. But if you're not going to take the time to do that, and I've got to hunt through all those other darn emails.
That's the typical flag for knowing there's a robot or some bad guy at the other end, is they don't fill out all the fields.
Yeah.
Right.
Please fill out all the fields, we'll know it's real.
Well, they're putting in location, sex, and I know Uruguay and France and all these other obscure ones. They're just putting anything in there to fill, populate the fields. And I can, boom, sort those out, no problem. But it's when I got to go through the list, and it would be so much easier. My life would be a lot easier if they just put in the location, city, comma, state.
Yeah, it may be fun that your family calls you, Big Bob from the basement, but we're not going to know that's a nickname and not junk.
Oh, right.
But
right.
Like you say,
so if you've got a city and a state, then, and folks, it doesn't have to be your city and state. If you want to lie to us,
I got other things to do in my life. I'm not going to come and hunt you down. Jeez Louise.
All righty. That was a particularly vivacious and...
I told you it was brewing for 2 weeks, and I had to sit on this one because I got this email, like I say, a few weeks ago.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've got to let them not brew quite so long as they have in the past, but we're going to give Uncle Dave his little shot now. Calm him down. You folks take off your footy jammies, rinse out your mugs, get dressed again, put away the pillows. We will save Uncle Dave for another time.
Well, when we come back, I got to talk about what we've been doing.
In Second Life?
Yeah.
Actually, we can talk about that now. We've got a minute or two left, don't we, Jessica?
No.
Oh, we've got 30 seconds. Oh, this is the out. I see. Oh, all right. In that case, we are going to take a break. You're going to get the news, views, stuff you can use that always comes. The news, the weather, the sports, all the good things that come with Wham. And when we come back on the other side of that, we got the poll. We got what's going on in the forums. We've got what's going on in Second Life.
And of disclaimer. Course,
a disclaimer and a whole lot more of your calls on the greatest computer show in the known universe with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Jessica Sawyer, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Jessica Sawyer.
And 7 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. Now, every week, we do a poll on the Sound Bites website. Last week's poll was about Microsoft wanting to... there's a petition out there for Microsoft to save Windows XP and not kill it at the end of June. 295 of you voted, tying for 183 on the all-time hit list. Thanks to each and every one of you who voted. The poll was, would you like to save Microsoft? Would you like Microsoft to save XP? 73% of you said, oh, please, 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 please. 12% of you said the Linux. 9% of you said the Mac. And a mere 18 of you, poor deluded soul, said, no way, Vista is the Roxors. This week's poll is about an interesting little news item. Security researchers on Thursday warned users of the popular Trillion instant messaging client that the software harbors 3 critical vulnerabilities that could be used to hijack their Windows PCs. Trillion's developer, Cerulean Studios, has updated the instant messaging client version 3.0.10.0 to patch the bugs. The vulnerabilities were reported by 3Com's Tipping Point, which posted advisories for each of the 3 critical vulnerabilities. Danish bug tracking firm Secunia Inc., meanwhile, collectively ranked the three as highly critical problems, its second highest threat rating. Two can be exploited by attackers without tricking the user into helping. Simply receiving a maliciously crafted message triggers those bugs. But the third does require recipients to open an image file. All three could be used by hackers to remotely inject their own code into the PC. See, the ones where you have to click on something, at the very least, the people who actually pay attention to what we say every week on the show will be safe.
Yeah.
However, the other two, you just have to get it. You don't even have to click on anything. Trillian is one of several instant messaging clients that supports multiple IM services and let users chat with contacts on AOL, Microsoft, and Yahoo, as well as people using ICQ. Or IRC. Version 3.0.10.0 can be downloaded from the Cerulean Studios website. Trillian runs on Windows 98, 2000 ME, XP, and Vista. The question this week is, the poll this week is, I use the Trillian IM client. The choices are yes, and it's patched, yes, and I'm going command baby, I use a different IM client, and I don't want to talk to anyone. So far, we have approximately 79 respondents. 65% of you are don't talk to anyone. I kind of knew that about our people. 27% use a different client. 6% use it and it's patched. And, of course, two of you are going commando. Now, I know that for those of you who vote in our polls, most of you are a little more vociferous than just clicking a button. So for those of you who feel the need to say more, if you look below the poll, you will see a yellow box. In there is a link that says, give us your opinion. If you click on that link, it takes you to my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com. Thank you.
And it will let you put in an opinion up to 256 characters. 0 to 255. So while you're there, check it out. There's not a lot you can look at unless you become a member. I put out a newsletter. There are forums. You can search old newsletters. I put out tips and tricks, Q&A, rants and raves, website of the week. It's a whole bunch of stuff. I think the search feature alone is worth $15. You can solve all kinds of problems with that thing. And it's only $15 a year, and I don't know why you're not a member. But then join us back on the Soundbites website. And of course, now You can also join us online in Second Life. One of the things that I did last night, I'm rather proud that this actually and kind of surprised that this actually worked. We have a new page you can go to, soundbites.org/slvisitors.php. That's actually on the links page. If you go to the links tab on Soundbites, it's the third one now. It's the people who've visited us on Second Life. And what happens is every night, every day, it collects the names of all the people who have visited our little area in Second Life, which I should put the slurl on here, too. I'll do that when I get home. Yeah. Will visit us on Second Life, and it remounts every 24 hours. The problem is, of course, that a couple people, for example, as for May 25th, Lolly shows up twice already. And the reason is our midnight, of course, is Eastern time, and the midnight on Second Life is Pacific Standard Time. So if you come in before 3 a.m. our time, you get logged. And then if you come in after 3 a.m., you get logged again on Second Life. And so you get logged twice because midnight is 3 hours earlier here. So. But it works, and it works pretty well, so we'll be able to at least see who visited us on any given day, and I hope to see that continue to grow.
That's one thing we got to tell folks, you know what I mean? We've been talking about it for quite a while. A number of folks have just jumped right in. Matter of fact, it's made me even a little scary because I think I'm going to have to put up the NRite disclaimer, is that we're not responsible for lost sleep or time off of work due to hanging out in Second Life.
Yeah, suddenly hearing the alarm go off and you've been up all night is what we call the Enright syndrome around here.
But seriously, folks, I mean, we've already got 14 to make. In fact, our very first person who signed up was Val Shepard.
Valena Shepard.
She was our very first person to sign up in the Soundbites Second Life
group.
So she gets to be number one. But seriously, if the rest of you folks take the time, it is addictive. I mean, it's totally a different experience. And Nick and I have been hanging out on the roof, and it's really cool.
Way too much, actually. Way too much. I'm spending so much time chatting with people, I'm not getting any of the work I've been trying to get done in Second Life.
Same here. I've had to, like I say, go off to another island to get some of the other stuff I'm working on and playing with scripting and everything else.
I got to find some place on the island to hide while I do some stuff.
You may need to make another avatar name that nobody knows.
Yeah, right. And go in and do the work there and then gift that to my guy.
That's what I did. Yeah. You can do multiples.
Yeah, I know.
But anyway, no, you just go to another one. But folks, seriously, check it out. It is a lot of fun. And see what we've done. I mean, it is really wild what we, through the help of Larry Dugan and that to set everything up. It's been a ball.
Right, and they'll be back on. We'll officially soon. Introduce the,
yeah, we got the our official area opening of cyberspace coming soon.
Of Second Life soon. Our next caller is Rex from Churchville, New York. Welcome, Rex. What's your question?
Yeah, hi. Hi, guys. Thanks
Hello.
For having me on. Hello, sure. You hear me?
Yep.
Okay, all right. I'll try to keep it short. I build a home-built machine, 2.4 gigahertz quad processor, Windows Ultimate, a Vista Ultimate, and it was a pain.
Yeah.
I got like 3 gig of RAM in it, so it's set up nice. But I ran into a problem about 2 weeks ago. I think that's when Service Pack 1 came out.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what happened, even it crashed this machine to crawl. It wouldn't respond to do hardly anything. What I ended up having to do is boot it up in safe mode,
mm-hmm.
copy all my files off, format the drive, and reload from scratch.
Right.
Now,
That's pretty normal.
But Rex, just for future reference,
yeah.
Next time, all you had to do was uninstall the service pack.
Well,
that might have worked
if that was the problem.
I tried to do that, and I just couldn't figure out how to get it uninstalled.
Mm.
So basically, I
didn't have to remove programs anymore.
Year, and so I figured I might as well clean the thing out and start from
now,
scratch.
Now, once you did that, it worked fine again.
Yeah, it's not working too bad now. But like,
this is really all you can ask of Vista.
Yeah, but I bring up my resource monitor, the task manager, put it on so I can see everything.
Sure.
You really like a lot of pain, don't you?
Huh? Well, yeah, I've been doing this for too many years. But, I got like 60 processes running when I look at the task manager. Before I had about 80. So there was something going on there that I just couldn't figure out how to clean out. But when
I have 279 at the moment on my computer.
All right. So, yeah.
The question I got is, I was going along, and I'd only be running like 25% CPU utilization, basically just sucking up one CPU entirely.
Right.
But so I had 75%, 75% left open, but it still wouldn't respond. And so I went into this task manager to try to figure out where this thing is at that's sucking things up that won't let the operating system even respond, even though it's only using up one CPU.
Right.
And I couldn't figure out how to do it.
Well, it may not be using one CPU. It's using 25% of four, so it could be a little bit of each.
Well,
and it's mostly because not all programs are optimized for multiple CPUs.
Right. And I just didn't know they did something in Service Pack 1 that, you know, really screwed things up royally. And I'm running the Computer Associates, everything except the antivirus, and using Windows Defender, because when I first booted it up, Computer Associates didn't support Vista.
And I still wouldn't recommend Computer Associates.
Well, yeah, that's what I get for free when I get Roadrunner.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if there's something better I can use, the problem is I have 7 computers in my house.
Yeah, and it's what a caller alluded to earlier, is that all of these antivirus, anti-spyware programs take up so much overhead themselves that they make your computer slower.
Right. And, you know, this is not a small machine. It's got everything you think you'd want.
Yeah, it's a workhorse.
All right, listen, stay on the line.
Okay.
And we will get, when we come back, we'll give you a little more information about this. We are going to have to move on to call. call, but stay on the line for now. We'll be back to give you a little more of your answer. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Jessica Sawyer, me, Nick Francesco. We're just going to take a quick pause for some of the little commercial dramas that make our lives so perfect each and every day. So listen very carefully for the next few minutes to our beloved sponsors. And on the other side of that, we will be back with a whole lot more of the greatest computer show in the known universe. And as we all know, say it with me, everybody out there in radio land, even if you're listening on the podcast later, it's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Hooray! Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Jessica Sawyer.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. All right, Rex, are you still with us? Rex?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right. Here's what you want to do. Right-click on the taskbar at the bottom.
Yep.
Select Task Manager.
Yep.
On the Processes tab,
mm-hmm.
you'll see the image name, the username, the CPU, the memory, etc. You yep. can click on that CPU, the word CPU, and it will sort by CPU usage.
Yeah, I did that.
All right. And so you know what things are taking up the most right. CPU. What are they?
You may need to check at the bottom, show processes from other users.
Right. Well, I did it so it shows all processes.
Right.
And then I can see it's, what is it, SVC host?
Yeah,
SVC.
See?
It's one of those, and how do I find out what actually called that?
You don't.
You don't?
Yeah, that's the real problem. SVC okay. host is service host.
Right.
Services use it.
And so you don't, there's no way to go back and say, oh, this was called by this utility.
There are other task managers. I'm looking our link list to see what we've...
That one for Vista.
Yeah.
But there are other task manager programs you can download that show you more information than the Windows one.
Right. Okay.
And that's kind of what you're going to have to use. The Linux people are laughing right now because we've got PS and other things like that that'll show us all kinds of stuff.
Well, I'm Unix and Linux Alert also. So I could, you know, I go back and used to do that all the time, but I'm stuck on Windows right now.
Microsoft has one from SysInternals called Process Explorer.
Okay, yeah.
That shows a lot more detail about what processors are running. I don't know if it shows who called service host, but there's a lot more detail there.
Yeah, because I couldn't figure, I had like 15, 20 of these service hosts, .exes up there. And I'm trying to, okay, which one of them is it? I figured out, you know, it's at the top, it's like 25% was taken, so they would basically peg one of the CPUs, but it was blocking any access to get to anything inside the OS.
Right.
And that's where I was having, I had plenty of other CPU processes I could use, but there's something that was locking out, so it wouldn't even access the OS to go do anything.
Yep.
And that's where I was trying to figure it out, so finally I said, forget it, I copied stuff off, going
that,
to...
That also may have been some sort of malware then.
Well, I've been running my antivirus and scanning and stuff like that, but you're saying the Computer Associates isn't the best thing to run.
Well, not my favorite. One of the things you might want to take a look at, by the way, if you like to run Linux, is a program called Ulteo, Ulteo, mm-hmm. Ulteo.com, and it lets you run Linux on your Windows machine.
Yeah.
So that might help you find what you need. But beyond that, I don't know what to tell you. Beyond running those other task managers,
yeah,
the tools in Windows really kind of stink.
Yeah, I know.
And so you really need to go somewhere else to find. So check the list that we've made and see what you can do. We've got to move on to another call.
All right, thanks a lot.
Good luck, Rex.
Mm-hmm, bye.
See, and that's very frustrating. You built or bought this real high-end super machine, and it still runs like a dog.
Yep. All right, our next caller is
Rich.
Rich from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Rich. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I love your show.
Thanks.
I've talked to you before. In fact, Nick, I remind you again, I'm a good friend and a fellow radio-controlled model player, Dominic Cannata.
Yeah, my cousin Dominic.
Yeah, he's a jet freak now. Boy, he flies these high-powered turbines. Yes, but anyway, because we do that, I love to use a flight simulator, and I decided when I bought an HDTV, I was going to hook it up to my computer and use the flight simulator at 50 inches. Well, the problem is I have a 3 gigahertz Pentium 4 HP Media Center Edition PC.
Right.
With 2 gigs of RAM, but it has nothing but PCI slots, no PCI Express and no AGP. And the best card that I could get for it, as far as I know, is the NVIDIA 6200 overclock. And when I talked to the support for NVIDIA, they told me that I could not use a DVI to HDMI to the TV. I could only do DVI to VGA, and it limits my resolution to 1024 by 768. And what my question is there any way I put in a better card without having to just build a whole other PC that takes PCI Express?
There are expansion chassis. There's a company called Second Wave. We've had to do this on the Mac for a while. It's basically it's another PC with a bunch of different slots in it, and it connects to your first PC with the card. So it gives you the first thing it does is give you more slots. So if you run out of slots in your PC, but they also make versions with a different slot architecture, so PCI and PCI-X.
It's kind of a Quasimodo way of doing it.
Now, you can do HDMI to DVI. I do that with one of my computers. The problem is that's only the video signal. Yeah. HDMI has audio and video, so you'll have to run your audio from your audio card separately into TV.
You're still patching a leaking pipe.
And you're going to lose a lot of performance going through those patches. So the short answer, really, I hate to say this, no.
Yeah.
There's no easy way to get the ring the full performance you want without changing your motherboard.
Okay, sounds good.
Sorry. Tell Dominic I said hello.
Will do. Thank you.
Thanks. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with Jessica Sawyer. I'm Nick Francesco. It is 30 minutes after the hour, and you are continuing to listen, and I don't know why, but I'm glad you are listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe, Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM, back in just a couple of minutes. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Jessica Sawyer.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. Quick news story. Critical vulnerabilities remain in Apple's iCal calendar program. According to a security company Wednesday, an advisory showed months of back and forth between Apple and the researchers over whether bugs were serious enough to warrant patches, and if so, Apple would patch them. After several delays requested by Apple, the security vendor put its foot down and told the company security team would release information about the vulnerabilities May 21st, whether Apple had issued patches or not. In a bulletin posted to the bug track and full disclosure mailing list and on its own website, Core Security Technologies detailed 3 bugs in iCal that attackers could remotely exploit using compromised servers, malicious websites, or email.ics file attachments. The vulnerabilities may allow unauthenticated attackers to execute arbitrary code on vulnerable systems with and potentially without the assistance from the end user of the application, or to repeatedly execute a denial of service attack to crash the iCal application, said Core Security. iCal, of course, the scheduling and to-do application bundled with Mac OS X. It's used both as a standalone personal calendaring program and also as the client for connecting to Apple's calendar server. Core Security first reported the 3 iCal vulnerabilities and a 4th in iCal server itself, a component of the Mac OS X server, back on January 30th of 2008, but then spent nearly the next 4 months asking Apple when the company would patch the bugs, answering questions from Apple's security team, and pushing back the deadline for publishing its findings. That's Apple pushing back the deadline. And eventually these guys just got tired of it and decided that this vulnerability was probably known to a whole lot of bad guys and now none of the good guys. So they've published it in order to force Apple's hand. We see that a lot more lately when companies drag their feet about actually making a fix. For whatever reason, they're dragging their feet. Some of them are legitimate. Some of them are not. Making no judgment about that. But the company eventually gets really kind of the people who found the vulnerability get really tired of thinking there's this vulnerability out there that can harm people and the company's not patching it. So they just release the information to force their hand. And that's been done with the iCal client. Unfortunately, there's nothing you can do for a couple of these bugs to stop it from attacking your machine as long as you're actually using iCal. So I don't quite know what to tell you about that at the moment.
Most of these exploits on Mac and Windows are all buffer overflows. You know, the program is expecting you to type in 4, and you type in login, root, delete, SQL, and star.store. Shouldn't that be a simple thing to do when you're coding it?
It is an insanely simple thing to do if you think to do it.
Right. Well, that was always how, when I was testing programs, what happens if I type a bunch of gibberish?
Right!
Mm-hmm. Okay, if you're expecting a 4, you say, well, if answer is more than one digit, well, you didn't put it in right, you know?
Yeah, well, you think.
Yeah, but re-enter.
It should be easy to
once again,
to fix, yeah.
Lazy programmers.
No, code wants to be wrong.
Right. Mm-hmm. Our next caller is Cheryl from Ontario, New York. Welcome, Cheryl. What's your question?
Well, hi, Nick and company. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure,
well,
Cheryl.
Actually, it's my wife's call. She stepped away to do her hair, but here she is. Thank you.
Sure. Hello, Cheryl.
Good afternoon.
What can we do to make you happy?
Well, I'm in the market for a laptop, and I've been studying the circulars for about the past month. And I am just totally confused. I don't know what brand. Can you help me?
All right. Key thing, though, Cheryl, to ask, what are you going to do with it?
Okay. I'm going to surf the net. I want to listen to music. I want to download pictures. And on it, I do want the webcam.
Okay. That's easy to do.
And that's pretty much 99% of the computers that are out there, which is your
thing.
Confusion.
If you're going to do the webcam, the one thing that you want in a machine then is what they call dedicated graphics.
Dedicated graphics, okay.
You don't want it to be shared. In other words, so you have a gig of memory in there and you get shared graphics, part of that gig of memory is going to be shared to do video.
That's also called integrated graphics. When you look at the specs, you may see integrated. Integrated graphics.
Okay.
That's the bad kind, too.
Right. You want dedicated graphics.
Well, it's cheaper, which most people like. Yeah, so if you're shopping on price, that's what you're going to get. If you're shopping on features, you're going to want something else.
Right.
I'm shopping on price.
Yeah. So you can get a low-price computer, or you can get a good computer. You have to take your pick.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, it's the same thing with cars. If you buy a $10,000 car and you buy a $30,000 car, those are really two different cars.
Right.
And the same is true of laptops.
Especially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you don't mind, you know, it's going to be a little slower. Maybe the webcam video won't be as clear. You can't run so many programs simultaneously, et cetera, et cetera. A low-end laptop is certainly a very useful thing. You may not be able to run a lot of programs simultaneously, so you may not be able to listen to music while you're on your webcam, at least not cleanly for both, right?
Okay.
But you should be able to do those things. A lot of it has to do with the speed of the processor. A lot of it has to do with the amount of RAM. But when you do video things, the amount of video memory you have and whether or not it's dedicated is very important. So if you take out the webcam stuff, you can do the rest of it with a fairly low-end machine.
Okay,
and as long as you're willing to put up with a not very high-quality webcam, you should be able to do that, too.
Okay, let's leave the webcam out. We have Vistas at home, and I know that it needs a lot of RAM.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about at least, okay, three gigabytes RAM.
Yep.
What do you think?
I would say 3 gig of RAM. I would say at least a 200-gig hard drive.
Okay.
Yep.
If you want to burn DVDs, you got to have a DVD burner.
On a laptop, 200 gigs is at the high end because laptop drives are smaller than
160.
Desktop drives.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, right. 160 gig is fine, too, as long as you got that burner and you can take stuff off. Beyond that, what's the most important thing about a laptop is the warranty.
Warranty, okay.
Because you're going to be carrying this thing around. You're going to be knocking against stuff, dragging it, dropping it, bouncing it.
I see it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so make sure that whatever warranty you get is A, at least 3 years.
Okay.
And B, covers everything.
Okay.
Well, and you're going to find that most warranties don't cover what's called accidental abuse. If you drop it and break it, that's your fault.
Right.
However, that will be covered under insurance. Most of the times you can get insurance riders on your homeowner's insurance.
Okay.
But then the deductibles versus the repair cost. You know, so you gotta look, there's that
around
question
and around
too.
You go.
And there are good brands. There are cheap brands. There are, you know, same way with cars. There's good ones and there's cheap ones, and it's very hard to decide which is which.
And if you prefer, you can still get them with XP on it.
Yeah, that's one thing too. It's kind of that catch 22 that Vista is the wave of the future. All new OSs will be based on Vista, but XP just works.
And then there's
always Macintosh. You can go that way and then avoid some of the other issues that you run into with Windows.
The problem is if you're searching on price,
There was a study that came out that 66% of all computer purchases over $1,000 are Macintosh. So okay. Macintosh has a 66% market share in computers more than $1,000.
Okay.
Because all two of theirs are more than $1,000.
Yeah, right.
what brands do you... I don't know if I'm supposed to be asking you this, but what do you recommend? It's a good brand versus a...
Well, that's we don't like to mention...
It depends on what you're going to want to ultimately do. I mean, because what I would recommend for you, you know, and what you're going to do... That's why the first question out of my mouth was, what were you going to do with it? And what you're serious about...
Even so, we don't tend to really mention brands, unless it's the only one of its... You know, for example, if the only people who made a laptop were Dell... We would say, yeah, Dell is a good brand, right? Because it's the only one. I mean, you're going to say. But they all make laptops. Some of them are good. Some of them are bad. And it varies by model. And it varies by
what you can do with it.
Brand.
Right. Yeah, you can look at a company like Dell, and they make 45 laptops, starting at $400 and going to $4,000.
Yeah.
And that's the same of every company, Dell and HP and Toshiba.
Acer.
It has a lot to do with the warranty. So check the warranty. And remember that a $400 laptop is just not going to be as high quality as a $6,000 laptop. It's the difference between a $20,000 car and a $40,000 car.
Right.
It may be fine, but it's, you know, you pay for what you get, and you get what you pay for, and you got to buy carefully.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry we can't give you more than that, but that's you just got to be aware
of that. And that's something, instead of... Well, not instead of, but in addition to looking at circulars, come into a store, come into Dave's shop, my shop, any of the other shops in town, and you can talk to someone about your computer, about your computer needs.
Equally importantly, you can go to the user group and talk to people who already own those models.
And the thing that is if they don't take the time to ask you, what are you going to do with it, walk away.
Right. And you definitely want to sit down with and play with a couple of these machines. Because the two most important parts of any computer are the screen, which you're going to stare at forever, and the keyboard, which you're going to type on forever. So do both. And look at where the control keys are, because on laptops, they move stuff all over the place. And that'll help you find something that you're happy with.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Thank you very much, Cheryl.
Thank you.
We are going to take another break. Jessica tells she's glaring at me. Now she's got the knife out, hatchet in the other hand. I've got to take a break. I apologize. We're going to take a break. We will be back on the other side of these little economic dramas that we love to bring you regularly with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Jessica Sawyer, who's just doing an amazing job keeping us on the straight and narrow. It's a lot like herding cats, but herding cats on drugs is really the way it is. I'm Nick Francesco. It's 46 minutes after the hour. We're Soundbites, and we are on the World Wide Web and 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Jessica Sawyer.
Did you forget you were here, Steve?
Yeah.
It's 50 minutes after the hour, and you're listening to Soundbites. Right back to the phones. Our next caller is Bert from Palmyra, New York. Welcome, Bert. What's your question?
Hey, great show as always, guys.
Thank you.
What do you folks think of ClamWin?
I love ClamAV.
There was just a huge vulnerability found a couple weeks ago.
You have to keep it updated. Yeah, but we use ClamAV all the time on our... I'm the systems administrator for the E. Philip Saunders College of Business at the Rochester Institute of Technology, and we use ClamAV as one of our scanners for all of our email that comes in, and it updates quite regularly, and it seems to catch a lot of stuff.
I use
it on my Linux boxes. I love it.
Yep, I've got my main Linux box. I got sick of fighting with Fedora. I switched to Ubuntu. Love
it. Good for you.
Using ClamNair, and I've got an antique box that I've still got Windows 98 SE on.
Yikes.
And yeah, my Norton ran out 2 days ago, Thursday, and I switched to ClamWin, and it's working great.
Yeah, it should be. It's a nice product. ClamAV, for those of you who don't know, is yet another antivirus company offering. It is absolutely free of charge. It is open source. It is used on Windows and Linux and the Mac. And it's a neat little product. Updates regularly. Very nice. Very nice product.
Very cool. Thanks.
Thank you.
Take care.
You too, Bert.
Did we post the site for the new AVG 8.0?
I think we did.
Free,
yes.
It's still free.avg.free.gridsoft.com.
Yeah,
it's,
but no,
it's just harder to find because they really, really want you to pay for it.
Did you find the link? Because otherwise, I have it and I can send it to you that we can post for folks.
Oh, yeah, the direct link rather than going to the
free
page.
It takes you right to it. If you want, I'll send that to you. If you would post that
up
there for folks, because I've had a few emails, folks, telling me.
But I'm always torn between,
because they may change it at the other end.
Right. Well, and I'm torn between just directly linking to it or going to their site. They're kind enough to give it to you for free.
Mm-hmm.
You should just go to their site and let them.
You should have the option to buy the pay version to see what the differences are in the pay version if you want the pay version.
In the Tango, I just go to the page.
Oh, well, this is one thing, maybe a little unsound for folks to also go into Second Life. Down on the Security Tango page, or floor, which is the first floor, you go into the room for the Tango. And as I discover different software packages that I think are worthy and I'm thinking of putting into the Tango, I'm putting them up there. And I have a new one up there right now. If you actually go to into Second Life and check it out. Because you've heard us talk about how you have to constantly go into each identity and remove all the temp files and all the junk and everything else. Well, I found a utility that removes it for all the identities.
Nice.
I got it posted there.
Also, in Second Life, there's a poster on the wall about how to keep yourself safe in Second Life.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly if you're new to it, you should read that. All right, our next caller is Lance from Penfield, New York. Welcome, Lance. What's your question?
Yeah, I had an ad offer from Smith Micro, and I think they monitor, are they connected with AVG or something? Anyhow, I've heard their name before. And they're offering a register cleanup package for $20.
Smith Micro is a known good company. They tend to buy other products and start selling them themselves. The big problem with any of the register clean-on, they also sell another program for the Mac called Spring Cleaning, which is kind of the same thing. You get this big list of stuff, and you have to decide whether you want it or not. And most people don't know if they want it or not.
Yeah, right.
And if you're too aggressive in telling it to clean things by itself, you can make stuff stop working.
Yeah.
When in doubt, don't do it.
Yeah.
I think I just forget about it.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Thanks, Lance.
Yeah, they. I think they started distributing Allume's Fit, which is a real big compression program for the Mac.
Right.
Could I ask an unrelated question?
Sure.
I'm printing some web pages or even an email. The total page is a little wider than the printed sheet, and it just cuts off.
Sometimes it will, and that's a problem that's been around for a while. Some printers allow you to say fit to page. Most do not. That is a part of the printer driver and has nothing to do with Windows itself. But it's a problem a lot of people have, and I don't know that there's any way to fix that.
No.
Well, one of them two that I had, I told it to preview the page.
Yeah.
And the preview looked good, and so when it printed looked good. But the other one that had no effect.
Right. 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 Right.
Maybe because one was a web page, the other was email. I don't recall. At least I know that it's a known problem, and if I can find a way out of it, I'll let you know.
Excellent. Thanks, Lance. All right, our next caller, Mike from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Thanks. I had this really odd booting problem that I figured out how to fix it, but I just wondered if you have any idea how it ever got into this state. And I have a year-old Windows XP machine. It's been running perfect since I got it. a couple days ago, I got up in the morning, and it was just in this continuous reboot cycle. And it just never even could get Windows started. So my son and I spent a few hours poking around, trying to figure out what was wrong, finally stumbled on the fact that, this system has two drives in it. And somehow, the boot in the boot order, in the BIOS, it was booting from the wrong drive. Now this system hadn't, nobody had touched it. It worked fine the evening before. We just set up the boot order to go to the other drive, and it worked fine. And it booted right up, worked fine.
There are a number of things that can cause problems in the BIOS. One is static electricity. If you have a system that's, you have a lot of static electricity in your house, like there's a thunderstorm coming up, or it's winter and the air is dry, or you got a dehumidifier or whatever, and you don't have any anti-static spray down, and you touch the wrong part of your machine, you can zap the BIOS.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's permanent, sometimes it's not. There are a couple of viruses that deal with the BIOS, so I would certainly dance the security tango to make sure you're clean.
There's a lot of viruses that cause the computer to reboot.
Right. So you might want to do that just to see what happens.
Or you could have a bad sector on the hard drive that's causing it to reboot, too.
Well, but that won't generally change the BIOS.
No.
Right. It was definitely set up to go to the wrong disk drive.
Right. So I would limit it to two things. One is some sort of static discharge to the BIOS itself, and the other is a virus. So I would make sure I dance the security tango, and as always, compute naked.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, I think that's the moral of the story of the day. Compute naked. Not in Second Life, certainly.
You could, but we wouldn't see it.
Right. Oh, yeah, well, you would. Yeah, right. All right, I'm afraid we are done for another week. I want to thank everyone who called in. I want to apologize to those to whom we did not get. The moral of the story remains, call early, call often. It's the Chicago style of voting, and we use it for calling it up to sound bites. I want to thank Dave Enright and Steve Ray, and most particularly Jessica Sawyer, who just she smiled and so prettily through the whole thing, even though it was us here making her life as miserable as humanly possible. And she was kind enough to do that. I'm Nick Francesco. It is 58 minutes after the hour. You've been watching Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.